at times, there will be events, troubles, tragedy, and diagnosis that will come into your life that will not make sense to you. You will not understand it, but it will be very real. But I want you to understand this morning that this is not new. We are not the first generation to suffer. And you and I are not the first ones to have to experience tragedy. This is not new. By way of introduction this morning, I want us to take a look at two passages of Scripture. One of them will come from the Old Testament, and the second one will come to the New Testament. The first one, and I want us to begin in Psalm 10. Psalm 10 was written by David. Psalm 10 was written by David during a time of tragedy and oppression in his life. Now, remember, David spent a good portion of his life running from people who were trying to kill him. So during some time of tragedy and oppression, the psalm makes clear, David writes this psalm. But David begins this psalm in verse 1 by asking two questions. And both of David's questions are directed to God. First, David asks God, "Why, O Lord, do you stand afar off?" With this question, David is trying to understand God's seeming absence from his time of trouble. God, where are you? I know that you know, and I know that you see what is happening. God, why? Where are you? Why are you so far away from me, especially now? David then directs a second question to God. He says, "Why do you hide yourself from me in times of trouble?" David here is trying to understand the absence of God, in the seeming absence of God in his life during this time of tragedy and oppression. So there's two things going on in Psalm 10. The first thing that's going on is David's problem, what he's going through. But the second thing that's going on in David's mind is God's reaction to what his tragedy and to what his trouble is. Here's what I'm telling you. When the man after God's own heart wrote Psalm 10 and verse 1, David was looking at his life and it didn't make sense to him. It didn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. The second passage is in the New Testament. Man, is this interesting. In Acts, the 12th chapter, verse 1 and 2. "And it was about that time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church. Herod's intent was to persecute them. So Herod had James, that's James the Apostle, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. The Bible uses all of two verses to describe the martyrdom of an apostle. He was beheaded by Herod. Now understand, Herod here isn't a proper name, but it's a title. This Herod's grandfather was Herod the Great. Herod the Great is the one who, when Jesus was a baby, tried to kill Jesus. So now here is this Herod. This is Herod. This would be Herod Agrippa the First. Here is this Herod who arrests James the Apostle, and he beheads him. Watch carefully the next statement, verse 3. When he, Herod, saw that this met with the approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter. When Herod saw that killing one apostle pleased the Jews, Herod then had the apostle Peter arrested. Listen to me. If you keep reading, you find out that the apostle Peter was going to be brought before Herod the next morning, and that Peter was going to receive the same thing that James had received. But during the night, as Peter was in jail, an angel comes to Peter, and he miraculously helps Peter to escape, and so Peter goes on to safety. All right, Peter is arrested. You've got angelic beings coming to him. You've got miracles being performed to help Peter. And less than 24 hours earlier, James, his head's cut off. We're rescuing Peter, but we're just hanging James out? Listen, I'm sure that must have puzzled those early Christians. Now listen to me carefully. Here is David in Psalm 10, and there is David's story. Here is James in Acts 12, and there is James's story. So there's David's story, there's James's story, but then there's your story. In every one of our lives, there are going to come times that are very puzzling to us. In every one of our lives, there's going to become times that are confusing. In every one of our lives, there's going to become times where it seems that God is just somewhere else. In every one of our lives, brethren, listen, we are going to face those moments where we are going to ask ourselves, why? Or why me? Or why now? Or why this? Or why doesn't God do something here? Follow the next line very carefully. Whenever what is happening around you, and whenever what is happening to you doesn't make sense, you need to remember three things. I mean, when life doesn't make sense, there are three things that you need to get in your head and you need to remember them. Number one, when life doesn't make sense, you need to trust God, but hear the rest of it. You need to trust God in the dark. When you can't see it, you still need to trust God. When you don't understand it, you still need to trust God. When it doesn't make any sense to you at all, you still need to trust God. You need to trust God in the dark. When life doesn't make sense, remember to trust God in the dark. Amen. Listen. You ever take a train ride? Say you board the train and you get on the train in the downtown area of a city. And the train pulls off, and so you see city life. You know, there's all the hustle and bustle of people and cars and buildings and high rises. And then the train gets out of the city and it gets out into the country. And you see the scenery of the country, the calmness and the stillness of the country, the landscape and the trees, and it's so serene. And as you're just driving through this scenery that's just beautiful, then all of a sudden the train comes to a tunnel. And it's just dark. I mean, in an instant, it's dark. Listen, when it goes dark, you don't tear up the train ticket. When it gets dark, you don't jump off the train in the tunnel. When it gets dark, here's what you do. You trust the engineer. Because he knows. It makes sense to him. We're in the tunnel, it's dark, but we're going to work through this tunnel, and we get through the tunnel, then the light and the scenery and everything else is going to return. You say, preacher, what in the world are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that when life doesn't make sense, I'm saying you can trust God farther than you can see. Look at this passage carefully. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he'll make your paths straight. You know, let me tell you something about that verse. Most of us know that verse. A lot of people sitting here can quote that verse. That's not the first time you've seen that verse. Say, well, I know that verse. Let me tell you something about that verse and something about the Bible in general. There are a lot of familiar passages that we know that we need to go back and study more carefully. This is one of them. In that verse, notice the word trust. Trust in the Lord. Well, what is trust? You say, well, trust is to rely on somebody, to lean on somebody, to depend on somebody. And all that is great, but I'm telling you, that word is much deeper and richer than that. The word trust in Proverbs 3:5 carries with it the force of depending on somebody for security. Listen, we can depend on God for our security. We can depend on God for our security. That statement is summed up in that word, trust. But now wait. Wait. You say, okay, I'm depending on God for my security, but here it is. The character of the word trust if it don't come up, I'm just going to tell you anyway. All right. You want to be a problem, that's fine. Because your brother is right over here. This trust is characterized by total commitment. I'm saying that we are to depend on God for our security totally. Now, watch how this total commitment is brought out. First of all, in verse 5, he says, trust him with all your heart. All your heart. With all your heart, you can rely on God for your security. Look what he says in verse 6. All your ways. In all of your actions and movement and motions of life, you can depend on God totally. You can lean on God. You can depend on God for your security. Trust in the Lord. Now, here's what it comes down to. When life doesn't make sense, you have one of two choices. You say, but life isn't that simple. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. When life doesn't make sense, you have one of two choices. Number one, you can walk with God through it. Or secondly, you can walk away from God because of it. But understand that if you choose to walk away from God, you're still going to have your problem. Except now you've got a second problem. You've got the problem that you're dealing with, and now you're going to have to deal with that problem by yourself and without God. You hear me? Listen. We all remember Job. We all remember Job. Job doesn't understand why he is suffering the way he is. He doesn't understand it. Job is the richest man in the East, and he loses everything. Bankruptcy. That single thing would be enough to destroy a lot of people. Job loses his children in death. Job has 7 boys and 3 girls, and in one swoop, 10 children are dead. Job loses his health from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. He's covered in blisters and in boils. His friends are suspicious of him. Brethren, Job is suffering. Job doesn't understand why he is suffering. But at the end of chapter 1, in chapter 1 and verse 21, Job concludes, "The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away, and blessed be the name of the Lord." And the chapter closes by saying that Job never charged God foolishly. What am I saying? I'm saying that Job trusted God in the dark, and you and I have to trust God in the dark. When life doesn't make sense, remember, you can trust God in the dark. Number two, when life doesn't make sense, remember, we live by the promises of God. Times when a child will approach you and that child will ask a very complicated question. And when the child asks you the question, you know the child will not understand the answer to this, even if I give it to him. Or you say to yourself, the child is not ready yet to know the answer to that question. So there are times when a child will ask us a very complicated question, and we will simply respond to the child by saying, "Because." Because. And I'm telling you that even in life, as God deals with us, his children, many times in life, we have to simply say to, God will simply say to us, you know what? Because. Because. Here's what we got to get into our minds. We live by the promises of God. Brethren, we do not live by the explanations of God. You say, well, but I deserve an answer. Listen. And that comes, I understand where that comes from in the heart, but I'm telling you, God doesn't owe any of us anything. And every one of us need to pray every day that God never gives us what we deserve. Now look what the preacher has said. When life doesn't make sense, we've got to remember to trust God in the dark. Whether I understand it or don't understand it has nothing to do with this. I am relying on God for my security, come what may. When life doesn't make sense, we have to remember we live by the promises of God. Now, if that is true, then here's the question. What promises has God made us when life doesn't make sense? I'm supposed to live by the promises that God has made when my life is in upheaval. So now I need to understand, what are those promises? Well, first, there is the promise of God's presence. What I said about Proverbs 3, a passage we know that needs to be studied more carefully, the same thing goes with Hebrews 13 and verse 5. At the end of Hebrews 13 and verse 5, God says, "I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you." What that verse literally says is this: God says, I will never leave you. No, I will not forsake you. Language doesn't get more emphatic than that does. I will never leave you. No, I will never forsake you. What does that mean? That means when I don't understand it, God is still walking with me. What does that mean? That means when life doesn't make sense, that God is still walking with me. In Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, had made this monstrosity of an idol out in the plains of Dura. This thing is like 90 feet high. And at certain times of music, everybody was to fall down and they were to worship that idol. But there were three Jewish young men who had been carried off into Babylonian captivity, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who said, we're not bowing down to that. We are not going to bow the knee to anyone but Jehovah. And they were threatened. And the three said, listen, what you do with us is up to you. You do what you want to do with us, but we're not worshiping that image. The Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar was infuriated with them. He called for the furnace to be turned up 7 times its heat. And Nebuchadnezzar commanded that these three Hebrews be thrown into that furnace. The furnace was so hot and such fire that the backdraft from it killed the men who threw Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego into the furnace. And then somebody took notice. Didn't we throw three into that furnace? But now I see a fourth. And the fourth is like one who is a son of the gods. Here's what I'm saying today. Not Daniel's day. I'm saying today that God will still walk through fires of flames with his people. God has promised, I will never leave you. No, I will not forsake you. When life doesn't make sense, remember we live by the promises of God, and one of those promises is God's presence. God will always walk with his people. The second promise that we live by when life doesn't make sense isn't just the presence of God, but the peace of God. The peace of God. In John 14 and in verse 27, Jesus makes that statement. But the context of that statement is crucial. Jesus is addressing his apostles. He is explaining to them that he is about to be killed and that he is about to leave them, and they are absolutely devastated at this news. Jesus even tells them early in that chapter, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come back. These men are devastated that after 3 years, Jesus is going to leave them. So in John 14 and verse 27, Jesus tells those men, peace I give to you. Not peace from the world, but he says, I give you my peace. I give you my peace. passengers on a jet airliner. We're experiencing severe turbulence. The jet is just shaking, and the lights are flashing on and off and on and off. People are concerned. They start tightening those seat belts. They start holding on to the armrest. But one of the passengers noticed a little girl who was over across from her in the seat all by herself, and this little girl was just carrying on like there was no problem in the world. She just continued to play with her she was absolutely clueless about what was going on. And the passenger, during all of this turbulence, hollered over at the little girl and says, "Listen, don't you realize the problem we're in here?" And the little girl looked back to the woman and said, "Oh, it's okay. My daddy's flying this, and he'll get us through." Did you hear what I said? Listen, we are going to go through life, and we are going to experience turbulence. And our lives are going to shake. And sometimes the world or the devil is going to turn us upside down and shake us. But while our world outside is shaking, brethren, inside, there ought to be that inner peace. There ought to be that inner peace. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 that the peace of God, which transcends our understanding, will watch over or will guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. When life doesn't make sense, I remember, look, I'm living by the promises of God. God has promised me his presence. God has promised me his peace. And thirdly, God has promised me his providence. His providence. Providence is a mysterious thing. Providence is something you got to be careful with. So let me make it simple. I like to make it simple so that I can understand it. God's providence is God's providence for us. God's providence is that God provides for us in our lives in a non-miraculous way. Contrary to what you may have ever thought, God is alive and is at work in the lives of his people today. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, "For we know that all things will work together for those who love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose." Now, brethren, listen to me. How do we know that all things are going to work for good for our benefit? We know that because it's God who's working it. It's God who's working it. When life doesn't make sense, you can trust God in the dark. Bless God, if you can see it, it ain't faith. When life doesn't make sense, remember, you live by the promises of God. Number three, when life doesn't make sense, remember that things become clearer with time. Over 100 years ago, a man by the name of W.B. Stevens wrote a hymn. It is a hymn that we sing here. The chorus of that hymn is this: "Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine, because we're gonna understand it by and by. The National Football League has learned the great value of aerial views. During a football game, the head coach stands at ground level and watches the game. But there's a lot of things that go on the field in the game that he can't see. There's a lot of things that go on where there's a problem and he doesn't know who solved the problem. He's standing at ground level and he's watching, but he's not seeing a lot that's going on. But way up above the stadium, in the press boxes, that coach has other coaches. And those other coaches are looking down on the field from the press box. They see everything. They know every move. They understand how it all is working out. You say, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that what is a mystery from ground level is very clear from on high. And so we live here now on ground level, and a lot of it is a mystery, and I don't understand. And why? And we just don't get it. But brethren, remember that in time, maybe 6 months from now, maybe 6 years from now, whenever, so many times we're able to look back on life and then it becomes clear to us. In Psalm 10, Lord, why are you standing so far away from me? Lord, why are you standing so far away from me? In Psalm 10, the man after God's own heart is crying out, Lord, why have you removed yourself from me? Listen, David had it all wrong. God was not standing afar off from him. And God had not hid himself from him. But David had allowed what he was going through to cloud his view and his understanding of God. When life unravels, brethren, that's when our faith ought to kick in. That's when all that we have believed for all of these years ought to stand up and say, listen, I can trust God. I can believe in the promises of God. And I know that many times what I don't understand now, later I can look back and I can understand. This and I'm done. You look at a single piece of a puzzle. And you look at it, and it's weird. It's got a funny shape, and it's got funny colors, and it just, it doesn't make sense to you. But you can take that one piece of that puzzle, and you can put it into the hands of somebody who has seen the box and has seen the picture, the whole picture, and that little piece of the puzzle makes perfect sense to them. Many times we look at our lives and we want to take one little piece of our lives that's broken or that's not right, and we want to just chuck it all away that it doesn't make sense. You can trust God. You can trust God. You can depend on what God has said. And bless God, someday we'll understand it all. And that one day may not be on this side, but on the other side, we're going to understand it all. When life doesn't make sense, you should have a peace that's within you. This morning, if you're not a Christian, this morning, if you are a Christian, and you've allowed what you're going through to pull you away from God, that's the devil. That's the devil. You need to come back from God. Whatever you're going through, you're going to go through it with God or without God. That's the decision you're going to make right now as together we stand and as we sing.